Well, the Venezuelan oil, Lee, could either go to China or it could go to us. I'm talking about stealing the Venezuelan oil, you understand?
Right.
We're simply talking about regaining control of the hemisphere.
So-called final destination.
Tim Stewart, head of the U.S. Oil and Gas Association, explained the strategic importance of Venezuela. And if you read the Wall Street Journal article that was out yesterday, they explained, look, Marco Rubio wanted to pick up Maduro. Trump wanted to cut a deal with him. And the most important part of the deal to Trump, aside from information that he wanted, had to do with oil. Take a listen. This is Tim Stewart. Either way, the oil is now under our control now. In fact, there's an incredible headline in Bloomberg right now. Bloomberg Business. Trump now has his very own oil empire. This is not by accident. Let's do the math. Start with the oil production of the U.S. Then include Venezuela, the rest of Latin America, from Mexico to Argentina and everywhere in between, Brazil, Guyana, Colombia. Like it or not, they are all living under the Donro Doctrine, an increasingly belligerent Washington sphere of influence over the Americas. Together, they account for nearly 40% of the world's oil output. And he writes, I'm talking about actual barrels already flowing into the market, not underground reserves that would take time and money to develop. Essentially, Trump is turning America into a NATO, not a NATO, I'm sorry, an OPEC. I always say NATO, into an OPEC, where with control over this amount of oil, you can begin to influence world prices.
Well, something we've done with the Strategic Oil Reserve, which, of course, Biden depleted. We've done that many times.
We have, but only for short term.
Right, yes.
Yes. Okay, so here's Tim Stewart with the U.S. Oil and Gas Association. Talk about the significance of this.
If U.S. oil companies do wind up reviving Venezuela's oil industry, how does that impact Americans? Are we talking cheaper oil, job creation? What do you think?
You know, our entire refinery apparatus in the Gulf Coast in Texas and Louisiana was largely built around the import of Venezuelan heavy crude. And so our refineries are going to be the first ones to really benefit from an increased flow coming in. Well, that's going to impact, obviously, the prices for consumers, which is great news. But more importantly, I think long term is what this does now is it puts 40% of the entire production in the world under the U.S. security umbrella. That's from Alberta to Argentina. And it completely resets the global geopolitical world in terms of our, the U.S.'s ability to project its interests across the world. We can do things internationally without having an immediate price spike in crude, and that's going to impact consumers. And it just gives the U.S. incredible flexibility to be able to project its power across the globe.
So effectively, Trump is able to do what China did with rare earth minerals. He's doing it with oil.
Yes, he learned.
Yes.
He learned. And you could tell it was a huge story. I made a big deal of it, but almost nobody else noticed it. New York Post did an amazing job reporting it. At the time, what happened? Remember Trump said, hey, I'm cutting off the hundreds of thousands of Chinese visas. I'm done.
Right.
No more Chinese visas. Yeah. You're stealing too much of our stuff. China said, okay, we'll cut off the rare earth minerals then. And they control 90 to 100% at the time of these. We came within a few weeks of the American automobile manufacturer lines idling.
And then that would have led to computers and defense systems and phones. And
we realized how bad this was. China doesn't just go around cutting business deals, you understand.
Right.
They use projectional force. Right. They use intimidation to do this. They use Belt and Road. And so we've just basically, Trump realized, like, we can invent all the stuff we want, but it doesn't matter. China's the only one that's going to be able to manufacture it. If your servers and your tech and all of your weaponry, is, you got to ask China nicely for it, and they set the prices, you're done as a country. Yeah. You can't be isolationist. You can't. So Trump panicked and said, okay, all right, you can have your visas back. China says, well, you still got to be punished. We're going to give you enough rare earths for your top three auto manufacturers. The rest are on their own. And you've seen this absolute mad dash and scramble all over the world now where we're buying up rare earth mines and minerals using like checks from the Pentagon, because this is truly national strategy, right?
Yes, because our fighters and bombers and missiles and everything that's got computers or any type of defense industry has got to have that.
Well, guess what Venezuela has? This is from Bloomberg. Venezuela is a tweet for them. Venezuela is a strategic prize, not just the 303 billion barrels of oil, but 10,000 tons of gold for AI chips and aerospace, 14 billion tons of iron ore for EV frames, coltan for tech capacitors, 5.5 million tons of nickel for batteries, a magnet, for hedge funds, short sellers, lobbyists, brokers, and billionaires. Yes. They've also got diamonds, iron ore, coal, uranium, and strategic supplies of coltan and at least 12 other critical rare earth minerals. You could see why Trump would be drawn to it like a fly to you know what. Yeah. So, because he's advocating for the American people. And what has happened, Lee, is this mentality has come to wash. It came from the Uniparty when they decided, well, China will do everything and we'll buy their stuff. They'll rule the world. We're cool with it. We don't even want to have borders. That was Clinton and Bush and Obama, where it is seen as just gauche and very embarrassing to do anything of any kind to advocate for your own interests. Because we're just so rich already. We'll let a minority go get it. The Chinese, it's not fair if we have everything. So we don't ever do anything in our own interest. China ate our lunch. And they were about to start dictating orders. They literally told Trump he will take their spies. And Trump had to say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And he learned from that. And he learned fast. And so you see all over the world. I mean, we had that great article going into Christmas where the Euro weenies were complaining because they were supposed to cut a rare earth mineral deal with Brazil. They were supposed to leave, get on the plane in 3 days. And then they got a message from Brazil. Oh, by the way, just don't stop by. Don't come by. No, the Americans already been here. They cut us a check. And the Europeans were commenting. They were like, wow, that they were in the shutdown. We didn't think they could cut a check. And they'd already put the money aside. Trump is not messing around. And so he's saying to China, you get to help get the heck out of our hemisphere. And by the way, we'll take the rare earths. Bye-bye. Here's Tim Stewart explaining the Trump denying the Venezuelan oil to China, which is their main buyer.
How would a U.S.-backed Venezuelan oil industry impact China?
Venezuela is sort of the poster child for the Belt and Road Initiative. And I think the numbers I saw with Venezuela now is about $20 billion to China just over the course of the last few years. That's largely backed by crude shipments. What this says to China is, I'm sorry, but your failure to plan with good borrowing partners does not constitute our financial obligation. It also sends a message to China, hey, get out of our hemisphere. And I think that's what the administration is trying to project. It's going to impact the Chinese incredibly. It's going to cut off they take about 80% of Venezuelans crude right now. So it's going to have a big impact on them.
Yeah, this really hurts China. In fact, several analysts were saying overnight, it hurts them so badly, they don't think China could prosecute a war right now to take Taiwan because we have so locked down this fuel and we have them sanctioned everywhere else. This also just absolutely guts Russia because now we've got OPEC-style control over oil prices.
And if we keep them low, they lose their rear ends.
Okay. And notice the timing of this, just as we're cutting the Ukraine deal.
Right. Supposedly, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, we keep thinking we are. But they're trying again anyway. Yes, they're at the negotiating
table. There's an effort, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, Cheryl Cassoni, I think better than anyone else. She gets on my nerves sometimes on Fox Business, but she does.
She tries hard, Tara. Give her a break. Now.
I know, she does. I think she laid this out better than anyone else, though, why Trump is so interested in this oil. Oh, come on, play, please.
You know, the big story, of course, is can you provide security and rebuild the infrastructure for U.S. oil companies to go into Venezuela and operate again? The Chevron is technically still there, but ExxonMobil and ConocoPhillips, they left. In fact, they are owed billions of dollars by the Venezuelan government because of what Hugo Chavez did years ago. And that's when they exited the country. ConocoPhillips actually is operating next door in Guyana. That's a different type of oil. The oil that comes out of Venezuela, you've probably heard this, it's a heavier, dirtier crude.
Difficult to get to. Difficult. Which is part of the problem with the money.
Right. And, you know, but they've got 20% of the global oil supply. They've got 300 billion barrels of oil. Mm-hmm. They've got more oil in Venezuela than the Saudis, than Kuwait, than Iran. That's why they're exporting. So here is the proven oil reserves, as you can see. I mean, look, Venezuela is twice the size of the state of California, to be quick here, everybody. But look at this. I mean, this is the export story, right? Exporting to.
That she's saying the same thing. Having de facto control of the Western Hemisphere's petroleum wealth is a geopolitical game changer. For decades, U.S. military adventurism was constrained by the impact any war would have on energy costs. We're not anymore. This is a power shift for us.
To use a business term, this is the ultimate hostile takeover.
Yeah. And what he's doing, he's playing things Chinese style. But the difference is China installs and backs these horrible dictators who torture people, murder them, rape them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go into a Venezuelan prison. I did a story when I first got here about 10 years ago. They were crucifying people in Venezuelan, literally crucifying them in Venezuelan prisons. That was, Chavez and then Maduro. So, I mean, you're talking about the benefits for the Venezuelan people. We don't want the money. We're not going to steal the oil. We're going to give you a better time of it.
Yeah.
As they make the transition, and we're not going to come in. Now, this is going to be very tricky because obviously the remainder of Maduro's party is still in charge there.
Mm-hmm. That's the sticky wicket.
That's the sticky part. However, Stephen Miller was saying, look, we got total control over them. And they do, because here's the thing that nobody is reporting for some reason, and it's actually pretty revolutionary because it's choking Cuba right now. We have a total blockade going on Venezuela right now.
Yeah.
Sea blockade going on them, which, by the way, we got a court order to do. This is not Trump just doing military adventurism. We are actually enforcing the sanctions that were passed by Congress and signed by the president. This is completely legal. This is exactly what we've been empowered to do, but we've never done.
That's it. And that's Trump is the only one that has had the guts to do it.
I know.
That's the thing. This has been going on. It's like you were saying the other day, there was already a $25 million bounty on Maduro's head when Biden was president, but they did nothing about it. Nothing.
And that was based on the indictments under Trump.
Exactly.
He was already indicted and wanted criminally.
Yes.
Yeah. So this blockade of Venezuela, what are we doing? We're not letting Iran have any oil. We're not letting China have any oil. And or what Iran and Venezuela were doing, they were refining each other's oil. It's different types.
Yeah.
So Iran doesn't get any in. They don't sell any. And Venezuela doesn't get any out. They don't sell any. And that is part of the reason why you're starting to see the leadership of Iran go, oh, my gosh, we are cooked.
And these are international sanctions. These are international sanctions, not just the U.S.
Yes. Totally lawful. And totally awful if you're China or Iran or Cuba. We could get a trifecta here, Lee.
Yeah.
We could get the collapse of Cuba, the collapse of Iran in terms of the mullahs, and China really having to its knees.
Cuba could be like days from collapse.
Yeah, because they were already pretty close.
I mean, without us having to do anything, because they depended on Venezuela so much. In fact, Maduro depended on Cuban security guards because he was so afraid that his security was compromised, which it was.
I'll explain this a bit in the next segment, but Cuba, without the influx of cash from Venezuela, mm-hmm. they just collapse.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah. They can't even keep the lights on.
No, they can't. And how absurd is it anyway that we're allowing a communist dictatorship in our hemisphere?
Well,
the founders would have been like, what?
There's one less, but, you know.
Yeah, well, I think we could see Cuba go down, too. I mean, this is fantastic, all of it. I'll explain coming up next.